Felt like the Lord would have us go right on for just a little while longer. Revelation, the second chapter tonight, we want to look for just a little bit. We talked to you this morning on the church at Ephesus. Now we're going to move right on to the church at Smyrna. And you drop down to about verse 8, and we'll read just a few verses there. And unto the angel, or the pastor, of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Amen. I want to get a companion text with this Revelation, the second chapter. Let's go to Matthew, 13th chapter. We'll look at these parables. We'll just pick up a couple of verses here. In Matthew 13, we'll pick up verse number 24. Another parable put he forth into the kingdom, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. That's all we'll read of this parable. Amen. As a text right along with Revelation, second chapter. We started to take a look at these seven letters. Amen. It was sent to the angel, each one of the churches in Asia. John was told to see, to write, and to send the letters to the seven churches which are in Asia. What John saw was a vision. And there was no way, amen, to see the future except by vision. We know that Moses is a writer of the creation, but we also know that Moses wasn't there at that time. Amen. And yet we have explicit detail of the flood, of the patriarchs, amen, and also of the Exodus. And prophets all through the Word of God in the Old Testament, prophets prophesied at the gospel day years before it dawned. Amen. How is that even possible? Amen. It's because they didn't write what they saw, but they were exact because they were inspired by the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost inspires you or gives you a revelation, it'll be exact. Amen. Your eyesight might be failing with age. Mine is. Amen. You might not have good eyes at all, but the prophetic eye is exact. The eye of prophecy is exact. Listen to the words of the Apostle Peter. I believe we read this morning. 2 Peter. First chapter, verse 16. He said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, for eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. What is Peter saying? He's saying that, amen, that they were eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw him and then they heard the voice of God when they were with him in the mount. Turn to me to Matthew, the 17th chapter. Let's read that. Amen. Let's read that account. Matthew, the 17th chapter. Verse number 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine, as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, this is a good place to be. It's good for us to be here. If thou will, let us make 3 tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses or the law, and one for the prophets, Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. Now that would be awful difficult on these Sabbath keepers. Amen. Let's build a tabernacle for Moses. Let's build one for Elias. Amen. And God spoke right out of heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. Whom he loved, hear ye him. Amen. We're under, amen, the dispensation of Jesus Christ today. Amen. Amen. Peter is saying, the prophecy shone as a light in a dark place until the day dawn. Amen. What day? Amen. The gospel day. And the day star arose in your hearts. Who is the day star? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the day star. That's the only star that can light up your heart. Jesus Christ is the day star. Amen. Now this chart behind us is an artist's drawing. It gives a panoramic view of the gospel day. In the Revelation, you read of beasts, you read of dragons, amen, leopards, you see the bear there, and amen, and there's a lion, and amen, all these different things through the chart, amen, but the Revelation is spoken probably more in symbolic language than any other book in the Bible, but it's not the only book in the Bible that speaks with symbols. Symbols, amen, are used throughout the Word of God. God uses symbols many times, amen, to illustrate a truth, amen, which would be hid, amen, except it be for the symbol, amen. Now, this is a vision that John sees and writes about. John didn't actually see literal happenings. It's a vision. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Because he was in the Spirit on the day before the Lord's day and the day after the Lord's day. Amen. God just didn't pick him, amen, because he just happened to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. John lived in the Spirit. And I want to repeat, this is a vision. Revelation 9:17 writes, John writes, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth, and having brimstone, amen, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. Amen. These 7 letters, amen, are parallel to the 7 parables in Matthew, the 13th chapter. They coincide. They are parallel with one another. They have these words in common. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. And the parable of the sower and the letter, amen, to Ephesus that we read about this morning coincide together. Now we've covered the letter to Ephesus. Now we want to look tonight for just a while on a letter to Smyrna. Amen. It was in the letter to the church of Ephesus that we heard the words of Christ and the description of the church. After he had praised them for their good works, and he did that first, if you noticed. He went down to and talked about their patience, amen, and how they was able to put to flight those who weren't apostles. Amen. He read off quite a list of good works. And after he finished the good works, he let us know, nevertheless, in verse number 4, Revelation 2, 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Amen. Not lost it, but left it. Actually left thy first love. And love, as we explained to you this morning, is a motive behind what we do. What the Christian does has to be motivated by love. When love is gone, then the works become the works of a natural man. Lack of love, I say, is a seedbed for apostasy. Now we know the chilly winds of the apostasy soon begin to wrap its death grip around the church of God, the morning time church. And we know we're right in an evening time apostasy right now. And as time goes on and this apostasy, amen, strengthens its grip, amen, around the church, amen, it's going to behoove every one of us to draw closer and closer to Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't think for one moment you can't be led astray. Don't think for one moment that you're so spiritual, you know so much truth, amen, that the devil, amen, is just wasting his time. Be careful. Good men of God, good men of God who love God, amen, supremely in the morning time, were led astray. We read about Demetrius, who was a fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul. He's mentioned in the scriptures how Demetrius was drawn away, having loved this present world. Amen. There is Judas. Amen. And I know we like to throw off on Judas, amen, for well, the 30 pieces of silver betraying. But look at the people that betrayed Jesus Christ yet tonight for a pack of cigarettes. A good time. You wouldn't want to call them Judas, but as far as God is concerned, they're a Judas. People that start living for God that turn their back on God. Amen. Having loved this present world like Demetrius. Amen. And during this particular time, amen, pagan Rome had been put down. Amen. There was ones becoming weak on love. And it become a fertile ground for Roman Catholicism. In Roman Catholicism tonight, there is no truth. They didn't have the truth and lose the truth. They never had the truth. Roman Catholicism is darkness, absolute darkness. Amen. They do not believe in being born again. They do not believe in living a holy life. Amen. They pray to statues. They pray to saints. They name their churches after St. Peter, St. Paul, St. John's. Amen. When the name of the church is spelled out clearly in the Word of God, the Church of God. Somebody said, well, we're all the Church of God. Really? Really? Is that right? Then why aren't we all together? Because doctrine separates. Amen. At this particular time, amen, at this particular time, apostasy was gaining strength. This particular era of time right here, the Smyrna Age. Amen, you see this church going down. Amen. You see the hill reduced. The mountain reduced. Amen. And the church was starting her way down. Amen. And apostasy was, amen, it was just tightening in its grip around the church. Pagan Rome, amen, was being put down. Amen, was being put down. So all the beast did was change clothes and come up in a religious garb. It can do a greater work in religion than it can down out here bowing down to statues. Amen. They'll take them same statues and dress it up in religion. And people get deceived by it. I told you about a man that I used to run around with when I worked at Rockwell. He's deceased now, and his wife is deceased. Amen. He was a good friend of mine. I worked with him at Rockwell for quite a while. And we used to sin together. And his wife was a friend of my wife. And she would pray to St. Jude for him. And St. Jude was considered the patron of hopeless cases. I don't think she ever got him turned around. Amen. But the darkness, the deception. Amen. It's in Roman Catholicism. I'm not talking about people. There's some good people. Amen. Out here in Roman Catholicism. But I am talking tonight about a system. A system, amen, that's full of lies, full of deception, full of darkness. Deceiving, no doubt, millions. Apostasy was gaining strength. It's a prophetic letter applied to the second period of time, or the seven periods of the gospel day. It's also located within the truths of the parable of the tares. What caused the letting down, giving in? Well, we just read it in Matthew. Let's read it again. There's only two verses there that we want to look at. There's more in this parable, but we want to look at these two. Matthew 13, 24, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. While men slept. And I'm not talking about literal sleep. I'm talking about a spiritual sleep. While men slept, amen. You cannot watch for the enemy and be asleep. Amen. If you want to get court-martialed real quick in the military, just fall asleep on guard duty. And let one of those commanding officers come up to the gate. And you just sit there asleep or lay there asleep. See what happens. See where you wind up. Just that quick. This is what happens. He was in an age of sleepiness. And oh, how that sleepiness, amen, once come right around the Laodicean age. Amen. And while people are sleeping yet today, the enemy's coming right in, wrecking their homes, dividing asunder. Amen. Drawing them away in the world. Amen. While men sleep, you have to stay spiritually awake. Amen. While men slept, the enemy came. 2 Corinthians 5:14 lets us know the love of God is a compelling force. It controls, impels, and urges us forward for Christ. When we leave our first love, the compelling force is gone. This is a time when many in the church had let down or being swayed and influenced by the rising up of an apostasy. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, very familiar scriptures, but oh, how they fit right in here. Oh, how the Word of God is such a light to us tonight. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. He said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. And that word expressly simply means clearly. Clearly. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith or defect from truth, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Amen. And when the wrong spirit gets a hold of you, it's no telling what you do. Amen. You're in the condition you're in tonight by whatever spirit's got a hold of you. The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. Who teaches that? Who teaches forbidding to marry? To abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing be to refuse if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Amen. Amen. Tonight I say when people depart from the faith, there has to be a seducing spirit working somewhere. Amen. When ones give heed to a seducing spirit, amen. You cannot get them to take a doctrine of a devil until their spirit gets changed. Amen. When the Holy Spirit is working, he leads you to all truth. But when a seducing spirit gets a hold of you, it's no telling what you believe. It's no telling what you give heed to. Amen. In this particular letter, there was tremendous persecution. Tremendous persecution. And Christ commended the church for her standing true. And when Jesus addressed the church, he addressed them as the first and the last. And he said, which was dead and alive. What is he saying? He's saying that there is no variableness with Christ. What he was then, he is now. Amen. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 13 and 8. It says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. We need to understand Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. One seems to think that in many things, Christ has changed his mind. He isn't as concerned about sin as he once was. Amen. That he's not as concerned about sin as he was in the Garden of Eden. We need this note that God loved Adam and Eve as much as he loves you and I. We also need to note that God loves Sodom and Gomorrah as much as he loves you and I. God loved those caught up in the flood as much as he loves you and I. He demanded holiness in those people for that day, and he commands holiness for you and I in our day. Christ let them know that he was dead and alive. Many have given in and given up. Amen. And Christ let them know that it's in him we live, amen, or die spiritually. Amen. You are what you are tonight by the grace of God. And it depends on how the grace of God is living, working in your life, on how much life you've got. You don't receive a life or receive life in joining the church any more than you do in joining the Eagles or the Masons. The Masonic Lodge, amen, doesn't give life to its members. Jesus didn't go around starting up a lodge. He didn't start up the Eagles, the Odd Fellows, social clubs. No, he came to change men and women. Change men and women. And every brother and sister, every, amen, everyone that's in Jesus Christ has went through that change. There has a change take place in their life. Amen. Amen. They once were dead, but now they're alive, and they have love for the brethren. That's how you know they have passed from death unto life, John said. Why? They love the brethren. They didn't want anything to do with them before they were saved. You couldn't get them out to the house of God. Amen. But once they got saved, they loved the brethren. They loved to be around the brethren. Amen. Let's go on. Jesus said in John 10:10, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. What was going on in Smyrna was sapping the life out of the Christian. And Jesus mentions the fact he saw ones who professed to be Jews, but was not. But rather, he says they were the synagogue of Satan. Amen. Now, who is a Jew tonight? We have several Jews right here in the audience tonight. Got a lot of Jews right here. Amen. According to the scripture. Amen. When I mention about being a Jew, I'm not talking about your literal genealogy. Amen. The new covenant is made up of spiritual Jews. Amen. If you're saved tonight, you're a Jew. You're a spiritual Jew. Amen. And God doesn't have anything tonight special for over there in Palestine, over in Iraq, over in Iran. Amen. For all those Jews over there. Amen. Involved in those wars. God don't have anything special for them. Amen. If they ever get into heaven, they'll come into heaven the same way you and I get into heaven. Amen. Through the new birth. Being born again. Well, let's read the scripture. Let's read what the Bible says. Romans, the second chapter. Let's see how the Apostle Paul described a Jew. Romans 2:28-9. Here he makes, amen, a description of what a Jew really is. First of all, for he's not a Jew which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But, I believe that little word there is a, if I remember right in school, it's called a conjunction. That means it adds to the other. Is that not right? A conjunction. But he is a Jew, which is one what? Inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. That's what the Word of God says tonight, on who a Jew really is. Amen. Now, it's needful tonight, we want to look at just a little history about Smyrna. So I'm going to digress just a little bit to tell you some history about it. Smyrna, what I have read of it, was a great trade city. 35 miles north of the city of Ephesus. The city had wealth. It had commercial greatness. It had a harbor that was magnificent. Built in the 4th century B.C., also was considered a city of beauty. And there was in that city great temples that were built for the gods of Greece. Jesus said that his people were the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. And surrounding the city of Smyrna was paganism all around. That little city was completely surrounded, if you check the history of it, by paganism. Don't tell me you can't live for God in this world if God's on the inside. Completely surrounded by paganism. Amen. And right in the midst of all that great darkness and heathenistic worship, amen, a light shone that even Satan himself could not pull out or could not put out. Right in the midst, amen, of all those pagan villages and cities around Smyrna, there was a light beaming. It was called the Church of God. The Church of God, that even the devil himself couldn't put it out. Amen. You can live for God if you desire to. Somebody said, you don't know the pressure. No, I don't know the pressure you've got. I know the pressure I have. Someday I'll trade pressures with you. But I'm here to tell you, amen, you can live for God if you put God first in your life, God being your priority. But God's not people's priority today. He's down the list somewhere. As long as everything is going good in their life, they don't need God. As long as they got a decent job, got a decent income, amen, everybody's well in the family, there's no trials, there's no tribulation, what do you need God for? Stick him back on the shelf and wait till some circumstance or some tragedy takes place. I'm here to tell you tonight, you're not going to be ready for the tragedy if you don't serve God during the good times. God is not like a light switch, flick on and off. You can live for God. Amen. Somebody said, you don't know my circumstance and you don't know mine. Amen. That's a wonderful part of it. We have diversities of circumstances, but we got the same God. Amen. You don't have a different God than I've got. And I don't have a different God than you've got. Amen. He's got the same power for you that he's got for me. He's got the same power for me that he's got for you. He's got the same power for me as he had for the brethren back in the, amen, back in the sixth seal. I'm back in either one of those seals. And the same power for you. He hasn't run out of power. Amen. The light hasn't, amen, begin to dim down. No, we're in the evening time. And in the evening time there shall be light. Amen. We've got all that panoramic view and understanding of all those seals and all the trumpets before us and all the churches before us. God help us. Look at the light and understanding we've got today compared to what they had in the morning time church. We have history. We have understanding. Amen. And we see how the enemy fought the brethren. Amen. Back in yesteryears. And we have knowledge. Amen. On how to apply ourselves in this day and age in which we live. Isaiah 9 and 2 says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Politically speaking, Smyrna was an important city. They had many civil wars back then, but during the civil wars, Smyrna had chosen the right side. And that was with Rome. And the Romans hadn't forgotten it. Amen. Smyrna was said to be the most proud of all the cities of Asia Minor. First in beauty, but also first in Caesar worship. Amen. The city of Smyrna would look on the church with contempt and a category of no importance. And we know that the city itself of Smyrna, we're not talking about the church, but earthly honors first and last instead of God. Amen. Listen to the admonition of the Lord. Listen to how Jesus comforts his church. In Revelation 2:11, he says, or 2:10, he says this, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. What did he say? Be thou faithful unto death. What am I going to do? And I'll give thee a crown of life. I'll give thee a crown of life. Smyrna was under the peril of persecution. They were a light sitting in the midst of pagan worship, surrounded by evil, I repeat, hated by professing Christianity. But Jesus' words were, fear none of these things, but thou shalt suffer. And suffering is nothing new for a Christian. It's nothing new in Christianity. Look at the life of the Apostle Paul. The words of Jesus to Ananias concerning Paul are recorded in Acts 9:16. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now these words seem to be spoken to encourage Ananias. Ananias had a great fear of Paul, whose name was Saul at that particular time. In fact, he was one born out of season. Amen. The church was not praying for him. They was praying against him. And Ananias had a great fear of him. Amen. But Saul, his enemy, was now going to be his friend. Amen. Ananias, his enemy, Saul, was going to be his friend. And Ananias was going to witness, not only by the repentance of Saul, but also by the things he suffered and how he stood true, amen, to his calling. Amen. Instead of proceeding as a persecutor and inflicting sufferings on others, he himself suffered for preaching the very gospel he once set out to destroy. Always keep in mind, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Did this prophecy come true? Listen to the Apostle Paul's testimony, young Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1:11 and 12, he says this, "Whereunto I'm appointed a preacher and apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Amen. The lighthouse that was under attack for shining so brightly. Amen. It was under attack from the enemy. And Christ let them know it's not over yet. It's not over yet. Verse 10, Jesus said, "The devil will cast some of you in prison. You may be tried." He said, "You're going to have tribulation 10 days. And that's a Greek expression for a short period of time. And there were two main factions, I repeat, that warred against the Christians at Smyrna. One of them was Caesar worship, but there also was hypocritical Jews who claimed to be God's people but were not. We know that Rome was a vast empire, a vast empire. It was so large and so great, amen, that it had to come up with a way to bring all of its provinces and kingdoms together in unity, amen. And when they did, they come together and these kingdoms, amen, would enjoy peace. Paganism was great. And I say that the Church of God at Smyrna was right in the heart of paganism. Wherever they looked outside of that city, amen, was paganism. In fact, there was many of the pagans that got, amen, one to the Lord, amen, and brought into the church. But it was surrounded completely by paganism. Amen. The Roman Empire persecuted the Christian church during this period of time to the fullest. Once a year, just once, not twice, just once a year, those in the Roman provinces had to burn a pinch of incense on the altar to the godhead of Caesar. Once a year. Not twice, not monthly, not weekly, not quarterly. Once a year. They had to burn a pinch of incense. If they would do so, they would receive a certificate to guarantee that they had performed their religious duty. And it was proven with a certificate. The burning of this incense would give a man the right to sacrifice or worship any god or goddess he preferred, as long as it did not conflict with public decency and order. That was the law of the land. All the Christian had to do was burn just a little pinch of incense and say, "Caesar is Lord," and he'd receive a certificate and he could go on his way living in peace. Amen. And serve his God. Amen. And pray to his God. All he wanted, just as long as he had that certificate. Doesn't seem like much, does it? Just a pinch isn't very much to those of you that, Amen. To those of you who do baking and cooking, put in a pinch of salt. Pinch isn't very much, is it? But a Christian could not do that. And when they refused, they branded him as disloyal or an outlaw. Amen. The Christian could not give the title of Lord to anybody else but Jesus Christ. We read in Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. They would not compromise. They would not compromise, but rather would lay down their lives to remain true to the Savior. Then there were the Jews who were blasphemers. They slandered the Christians just like they do today, but still professed to be God's people. The words of Christ ought to be an encouragement to us today. Be thou faithful. Be thou faithful, and I'll give thee a crown of life. And he's not talking about a crown over in heaven. Amen. He's not talking about a mansion. Amen. That song there, I despise that verse in that song. Mansion over the hilltop, whatever it's called. Amen. We don't deserve no mansion over in glory. Amen. My concern is getting into heaven, let alone having a mansion. Amen. Be thou faithful. You receive the crown of life when you overcome. Overcomers receive the crown of life. Listen to James. James explains it to us tonight. James says in James 1 and 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, not when he's dead, when he is tried, not when he's ready to give up the ghost, when he's tried, amen, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. When does he receive it? I repeat, when he is tried. What is a crown? A crown was worn by kings and queens and represents one who is reigning. Amen, one amen who rules. Amen, one amen who has got authority. And Revelation 1 and 6 lets us know he made us kings and priests. We can reign over sin right here. While we live on this earth, amen, we can reign. Amen, we're reigning, sweetly reigning. Amen, over sin. Amen, over the devil. Amen, we have a way of escape in Jesus Christ so we don't have to yield to temptation. Amen. We reign and we serve. Amen. In the first death, you have a choice. He talked about the second death. If he talks about a second death, there must be a first death. Make sense? In the first death, amen, you have a choice as to whether to stay that way or not. Amen. Whether to stay that way or not. Amen. Now, sin brings forth death. Spiritual death. Amen. When you commit sin, you're cut off from God. There's a separation between you and God. You no longer have fellowship with God, just like in the beginning with Adam and Eve. Instead of looking forward to walking with God in the cool of the evening, they hid themselves. Spiritual death. Let's go back to Revelation, second chapter. Amen. He that hath an ear, verse 11. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. He that overcometh shall not be hurt. As I told you, and I repeat again, amen, if there's a second death, there has to be a first death. Amen. The first death, amen, there are two mentioned in the Bible. The first death, I repeat, is separation from God by sin. Amen. And it's written right in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, amen, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, and he will not hear. Sin brings forth spiritual death. Romans, amen, 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 2 and 1. And you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. Sin causes spiritual death. Amen. Living in sin means you are dead spiritually speaking. You may walk around like other people do. Amen. You may walk around like other Christians do, but you're not alive unto God if you're living in sin. You have no fellowship with God. You may know about him, heard about him. Amen. Hear once, testify about him. Amen. But you really don't know him yourself as your personal Savior until you get separated from sin.
Amen.
Amen. In this first death, you have a choice. You have a choice whether you stay in that condition or not. You don't have to stay in that condition, but you do have a choice. Amen. Let's read it. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life. Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. How do you hear the voice of the Son of God? Through the preaching of the gospel. That's God's voice. And they that hear shall live. They, amen, that take note of the word of God and apply it to their life shall live. You have a choice on whether you want to hear or not hear. You have a choice, amen, whether you, amen, want to open up your ears to the word of God or shut them. That choice is yours. But it does make a difference whether you're alive or dead unto God. Excuse me. We have a choice whether to live or to remain in spiritual death. But listen to the words of Jesus in the same chapter as we go on down. Same chapter, number 5, verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. What do you notice the difference between the second and the first? Amen. What do you notice the difference between the second resurrection and the first? In the first resurrection, you have a choice. In the second resurrection, all choice is gone. You will come forth. Amen. You will come forth. And your sentence is already given. What did he say? They that have done good under the resurrection of life. They have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. You're going to be resurrected if you would die tonight. When a resurrection day comes, that's how you're going to appear before God. If you've done good, you come under the resurrection of life. If you've done evil, under the resurrection of damnation.
Amen.
Amen. This is the second death. This is the second death. What did he say? He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Amen. Let's go on. In the second death, final separation from God, You have to worry no more about anybody talking to you about salvation. You won't have anybody bugging you, so to speak, to be saved. You won't have to listen to ones testify about being saved. But you'll be sealed in a lost eternity. Think of that. Forever. Forever. Can't get out because you turned down the remedy. Amen. In this life. And there's no more opportunity when death comes upon you. Listen to what the wise man says in the 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes, verse number 3. The wise man said it this way: if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, and the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. And that's true whether it's in the little or in, amen. Or you use a tree, amen, as an allegory to represent you and I. Wherever the tree falls, there lies. The tree don't get back up and change positions. Brother Tracy, you're a lumberjack. You drop a tree, right where it falls, it lies, doesn't it? The only way that tree is ever moved is you have to move it. Whether you're talking about little trees or an allegory to represent you and I, wherever death finds us, that's where we lie. And if your name is not in the book of life, amen. If your name's not in the book of life, you're not saved. Amen. You've not been born again. Then you're dead spiritually now. And you're in very, very, amen. You're in very danger, a lot of danger of the second death taking a hold of you. You see, church, we have to live, work, communicate with this present world. And I thought a lot about the plane crash up around Buffalo, New York. 50 people taken out that quick. Now those people were what? 5 miles, 6 miles away from the runway? Sounded like there was no trouble. The tower calls them. Amen, tells them the elevation to drop down to it, or the altitude to drop down to. Tells them to follow the beacon straight into the airport, and that's the last I hear of them. How quickly life can be snuffed out. Instead of, amen, a happy reunion with their family at the airport, it turned into be an inferno of gasoline blowing up. That plane went down. I don't know about you, but when I read about those things, it just, I guess, tears me up inside to think about it. There's people on there, no doubt, several people on there, if not all, that had an opportunity. And you wonder how many, amen, that were, names were written down in the book of life. We live in this world, we communicate, I say, we have our jobs in this world, we have to carry on business in this world. Amen. And at any time, we can leave it. And the second death, amen, the second death is going to hurt if you haven't had, amen, the first resurrection in your life. If you've not been born again, if your name is not written in the book of life, that second death. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death, but he that, amen, he that doesn't overcome is going to be hurt. There's a sting in death. Amen. Smyrna would not compromise their stand of truth. And I'm afraid tonight I'm just about through. Ones are selling their souls cheap. They're selling their soul for friends, partying, a good time. Some have got attitudes. Some got unforgiveness. But listen to me. Those at Smyrna would rather go to the stake and give their lives than to compromise or back off from truth. As we close tonight, how about you? Are you selling your soul tonight cheap? I'm going to ask our brother to come and sing a verse of song. And as we sing it, consider your soul. Just for these few minutes, think about, amen, the second death. Will it hurt you or will it be your friend? Jesus wants to be your friend tonight. You don't want to face death with Jesus as your enemy. You want him to be your friend. You only pass through this life once, so you'd be wise to do it right. You'd be so wise to do it right. Let us stand.